Well, hello everybody and welcome. We are Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and we're here, Lizzie, for our 316th conversation in this ongoing series, this practice of talking with one another and talking with all of you who are with us. So welcome everyone, we're so glad that you're here with us. You might be with us live in our Facebook group, or which everyone's welcome to join, or maybe on a podcast, or maybe you found your way to turningtowards.life, where there's a video of all 300 and whatever I just said weeks of conversation. And we are so glad to be doing this and so glad to have you alongside us. And we've had some very wonderful emails and contact from people in the last couple of weeks saying what this conversation means to them. And I've been thinking a lot about that, Lizzie, about how this started as a wish for you and I to bring the kinds of conversations that we've been having, and that also that Third Space is up to, out into the public world, to make it available, to make it of use to people. And it's such a sweet joy to find the way that these conversations accompany people in the midst of maybe just wondering about life, but also sometimes when a really big question or a really big opening happens, or maybe sometimes in a very tender spot, like a loss or a grief or an illness or something like that, as well as a joy that these conversations find their way into people's ears and into people's minds and hearts, is very fabulous. So we're very glad to be back again this week. And I want to say, just before we begin, you can contact us in a number of different ways. You can just drop us an email at hello@turningtowards.life. But also, we know that there are people who've been thinking about how can they support us? How can they support this effort? So this Turning Towards Life is always freely available to everyone. That's one of the principles. And if you want to come alongside us and be a supporter, you can go to turningtowards.life and click on the support us button. Or you can try out going to buymeacoffee.com/turningtowardslife, and you can see ways that you can contribute to the supporting of this aliveness and this possibility that Turning Towards Life is. And we've had some people come our way already and support us, and also write some really meaningful things about what this is to them. So you're also welcome if you want to find your way there, if you feel like this has been of support to you. You're so welcome to find your way there to support us in return.
Thanks, Justin. Hello, everyone. Hi, Justin. Thank you for this lovely opening. And I guess once every couple of weeks, I come across somebody who I learn is listening to us I didn't know before, as in I didn't know they were listening to us. And it's such a joy to be in that conversation. I went for a walk yesterday and someone said, "Oh, you know, I listened to your podcast," and I didn't know that he did. And he's a 77-year-old local friend who goes walking in the park with a dog that Vespa really enjoys, my little one really enjoys holding the lead of. And he said, "Oh yeah, I listen often," and he's got various health things going on. And he said, "Who are the people who listen to you anyway?" And I said, "Well, I've heard of lots of different things. Some people help up, use us or listen to us when they can't go to sleep at night. Some people when they're going through some kind of treatment. Some people when they're walking their dog. Some people because it's their Sunday morning practice of connection. Some people because they're in some kind of difficulty and they don't really know what to do, so they listen to a few of our episodes and it kind of calms the system and helps them to make decisions." And it was really sweet talking about it and realizing that there's a lot of reasons to be here for everybody, including us. And I did the thing, if anybody's in the Facebook group, they would have seen it a couple of weeks ago, Justin. I did the thing and went back and listened to our first episodes, and it was so sweet to hear us in our beginning of thisness and how we did it, which is quite different to today. It feels like it's always been the same, but it hasn't really been. I think little things are different now, and it felt very comforting to know us then as I know us now and feel the coherence between us as well as the difference, as in our then selves and our now selves. And I'm just really appreciating the journey of it. And most people that I see socially now will mention it. Oh, how's your podcast going? And it's a really sweet part of my life that opens up avenues of conversation that probably wouldn't otherwise be there with people. So I'm really grateful to Tony Tall's life from just a kind of normal, ordinary life perspective as well. Very sweet. And today we're bringing this source by James Cruz, who is an incredible poet and who I follow very enthusiastically and curiously as to what's coming next. And I have a couple of his books here. And this poem kind of shouted at me somehow this week as I've been in my own process of doing my best to soften in the face of hardness. So I'm really grateful to James. I don't know if this was written for the times we're in now or a while ago. I don't know the date of it, but it seems really relevant to me today in my life. So I wanted to bring it and see how we fare and what happens. And thank you to James for being a poet who actually brings this to us and doesn't just keep it to himself. So here we go. It's called Stay Like Clay. How we want hard things to soften and change right away, for frost to lift off still blades of grass before the summer green can fade, and for a gentle rain to prevail over sleet that coasts each leaf clinging to gleaming black branches. For the furrowed brow of a loved one to smooth back into a smile, and for every clenched fist to unfurl into a small bowl ready to hold whatever small thing falls inside. Maybe the trick is never to harden in the first place, to stay like clay outside the kiln, willing to be moulded, reshaped by the rough and tender hands of this world.
Give us eat. Just a reminder, you can always find the sources in our Facebook group and in the notes for the podcasts and all of those kind of places. Stay like clay. How we want hard things to soften and change right way for frost to lift off stiff blades of grass before the summer green can fade, and for a gentle rain to prevail over sleet that coasts each leaf left clinging to gleaming black branches. For the furrowed brow of a loved one to smooth back into a smile, and for every clenched fist to unfurl into a small bowl, ready to hold whatever small thing falls inside. Maybe the trick is never to harden in the first place, to stay like clay outside the kiln, willing to be moulded, reshaped by the rough and tender hands of this world.
Thanks, Justin. So on this time of reading and hearing you, the line or the middle bit is the thing that is shouting to me, where I know so many times I have this wish that the furrowed brow turns back into a smooth smile again. And how I really do want every clenched fist to unfurl and hold whatever is here rather than be held as a fist. And I just really long for that. Like, I long for peace and I long for well-being and gladness and gratitude and all of those things. And of course, those things are profoundly, wonderfully important. And it's definitely not that way all the time. There's like all kinds of everythingness going on in the wider world, in the family, in relationship and work, you know. There's so much contrast to that. And so then when James invites us to be never hard in the first place, I take that as this really beautiful invitation to see if I can continue practicing my clayness and watching where I harden and watching where I clench and fight, and my nervous system becomes one of tension and worry and tightness, and see what I can do to soften. Because in those moments, there's no way I'm being shaped by the rough and tender hands of the world, really. I'm just clenched. And when I really ask myself what I really want, of course I want to be shaped by being here. Of course I want to be molded. Of course I want to receive you in a way that changes me. I want to receive the world in a way that changes me. Otherwise, I'm not sure what the point of being in the world is, if I wouldn't be one that let it impact me and change me and shape me into whoever I'm becoming all the time. So I'm really taken by this clay invitation, which is not to become wholly different or something, but to be impacted by, to be pressed. When I think of clay, I think of a finger or a thumb going into the soft clay, and then that leaves its imprint in the clay. And for us to be like that, and I know, Justin, we use this clay metaphor a lot in the way that we teach about how to be with people and how to be in relationship where we're receiving somebody fully and not throwing ourselves out of the equation, but being impressed upon and being shaped and molded and turned into something new, but that's still made of the same stuff that it was always made of. And I'm really loving that James is holding this invitation up to us in this particular way and showing me that there's a way to keep on dedicating myself to the clayness of myself whilst acknowledging all the ways that I harden, and bringing that really fresh into my understanding and my self-reflection and observation of life.
It's really good hearing your way of saying it, Lizzie. And as you've been talking, I've been and reading James's words as well. I've been feeling into what feels, how does this feel true in me? In what ways does this feel true in me? And one way into it that I noticed when you were reading was, are all the parts of me that don't want this? There are most definitely parts of me that would rather harden in the face of the world, feel much safer when they harden, feel stronger when they harden, feel less at risk when they harden. And then there are parts of me that are so used to being hardened that they're terrified of anything else, even if it were a wonderful thing. And so I'm feeling very tender and loving towards all the parts of me and all the parts of us that think that what James is writing about is a really, really terrible idea. And I'm not saying that because I, as a whole, think it's a terrible idea. I think it's wonderful. I suppose that there's a way in which there's a sort of in-betweenness of this. I want to honour in speaking all the times that any of us have had to harden because our vulnerability was too vulnerable, or we were at risk, or somehow we felt like we had to harden in order to get heard, or to not be overwhelmed or dominated by someone, or that in us that does not want to be soft like clay and reshaped by the rough and tender hands of the world often got that way because it had a point. And maybe particularly before we grew into these full-bodied adults that we are, maybe particularly when we're very little, for some of us it wasn't such a bad strategy to close ourselves off from the world. And I say all of that because I think the invitation to soften ourselves like clay. And then, as James says, as you were just talking about, Lizzie, the seeing if we can catch our hardening before it happens so that we can stay like clay and not have to keep on hardening and undoing and hardening, or just staying hardened to the world. I suppose I want to say that for some of us, or maybe for some parts of us, it's a very big thing to ask. And I can think of all the times when something in me that has stayed very hard, very defensive, or very defended, which is a little bit different to being defensive, or has really wanted to get my way over big things and small things, when it has been possible for a part of me like that to soften in the way that James says, it's always a great relief. It always brings me into contact with the world. It always unlocks or opens something that's been waiting to be expressed, usually with me tears, but sometimes sheer joy. So I suppose I'm wondering about what it takes when we find there are hardnesses in ourselves, and when it seems like they have every good reason to be there, what it takes for us to begin to find in ourselves what I think James so beautifully expresses, that we long in the world. When we see in the world, we see that how much we long the furrowed brow of a loved one to smooth back into a smile, and how we long for every clenched fist to unfurl. This is such a beautiful line, into a small bowl, ready to hold whatever small thing falls inside. When we can find our way into contact with that tenderness, that sweetness that life can offer us in right in the midst of whatever, somehow we might fall into the paradox of trying to force ourselves to unfurl and soften, which itself would be a kind of hardness. The way that we get into this very invitation. And it's really paradoxical, because when something inside us is really tightly bound, it may not rush into being open. We may be having our time staying open. And yet the more force we apply in order to open ourselves, the more we're caught up in this dynamic. Oh, so I'm feeling called to say something about the gentleness that this takes, and also the patience with one another that it takes, that we could demand this of one another too quickly, and that might not get us anywhere like the place that we want to be.
Yeah, I'm really feeling how important invitations are that are kind of passive. So this, for example, is a piece of speaking between two people that goes into the world that is not demanding anything of anyone. And this poem by James is not demanding anything of me at all. But it's making a suggestion without having any attachment, because it's a poem, to whether I do this or not, and how gentle a way, and how important a thing that is, that there are invitations in the world to us that are written down or spoken or sung, that we can quietly agree to have some intentionality about something, or we can quietly agree without being held to it even, that we want to open, or that we want to not stay hard like this. And I don't know, I suppose I've never really thought of it like that, that either Turning Towards Life or a poem or a song is a very important kind of outside of relationship thing. You know, it's not one person saying to another, you must open, and it's not me saying to myself, you must be soft. It's a kind of ethereal being of a poem or a podcast or a something, where we on our own terms don't feel pressured into anything, but that we can receive something on our own time and in our own way, to be a recipient of the kind of relief that you're talking about. And it's really moving to me that there's so much of that in the world. There's so many unconditional invitations that exist, this being one of them from James. You know, James didn't write this because he knew that he could crowbar us all into feeling soft. He was writing it as an offering from his own life, as we offer this from our own lives too. And it's really quite something to feel the you know, use the word gentleness, to feel the gentleness of the invitation and the, for me, like a sparking of my wish to be intentional and my wish to be cultivating something, knowing I'm going to harden, knowing I'm hard, knowing, yes, I'm defensive, yes, all of those things exist in me. And like you said, the relief of letting go of those things, whenever I've let go of my hardness and softened into something or seen something from a different side and connected with it in a different way than I had before, that was different to my own narrowness, I suppose. Like, that's one of the ways I think I harden, is I kind of narrow into black and white or this or that or right or wrong or something. And then softening into multi-dimensional views of one thing and realizing, my goodness, I couldn't see anything from there. I couldn't. That kind of softening and that kind of curiosity, I guess, that can come about because of this invitation that James is making, feels like a lifeline. You know, it feels like a proper somebody throwing me something that I can hang on to in the darkness of my closeness, in the darkness of my moment of, no, this time I'm right about this and it's just not okay or whatever. And so I feel really glad that this gentleness that you're talking about and the possibility of relief can be on our own terms because of this kind of stuff that happens in the world, the art that happens, the songs, the theatre plays, the concerts that, you know, you've spoken about so many concerts, Justin, that you've been to that have moved your world, and the people expressing themselves and gently and straightforwardly being themselves as the invitation in whatever their expression is, all of a sudden feels extraordinarily precious to me. Like, I'm not sure what else is more valuable than that. It's us expressing ourselves and giving other people the chance, if they want to take up the little mini piece of path that anyone might be offering to any other person by a kindness or a poem or a story or a book. Suddenly seems in kind of technicolor beautiful to me that's what James is doing by writing this poem, and 100,000 million other people doing it too.
I mean, so this way of talking, Lizzie, where we get to be invitations to one another and path, like railheads on a path to one another. Been reading an amazing little book this week by the writer Amos Oz, in which he talks about the dangers of a kind of what he calls selflessness, which is where we abandon ourselves and we forget what it's like to be a person, really. Like, this stuff that James is talking about is not easy. We forget that. And then we get into wanting to make everybody else, we can see it would be so much better, Lizzie, if you were soft and not hard. And we get into trying to fix the world up on behalf of other people. And it feels like we're doing something really good. But when we forget what it's like to be a person and then go out on some campaign to get other people to be the way that we've just seen, wouldn't it be great if everybody were soft? And now I'm going to sort of pressure you or force you or something. And I suppose the opposite, the counter to that is to be is to be invitations to one another, like you're saying, which I know is what these conversations are intended to be. It's a lovely way of talking about it. And it is also having me think about how we might take words like James's and bring them inside ourselves as an invitation. So when I think about it a little bit more, the parts of me that stay hard because they're afraid or desperate for something or have protected me in the past when I was 5 or 6 or 8 or 9 or something like that. What I know about them is that they long for what James is writing about. The deeper sense of them, that sense of relief that comes when they do find a way to soften, be willing to be held in the tender hands of this world, as James says, is very clear. But it's the nature of the protective parts of us to forget that. And I think it's the nature of us when we are filled with that kind of self-protection, for us to forget it too, to forget that what we long for is being like soft clay with one another. And so I'm also feeling into how much it helps to find in myself the soft, trustable center, the essential center of myself that is ready to unfurl into a small bowl and hold everything in it, to see if I can find that in myself and hold that out as an invitation to the parts of me that are very, very clenched up. Like I can be that for you, with you, and you and I have been that for one another many times. And like you were saying, when we are helping people become coaches, it's one of the first things that we get into is how to be that kind of soft, impressionable invitation to one another, rather than trying to force anything, to be a welcome and to be patient and to be ready for whatever gets born. But so I suppose what you and I have been talking about for the last little while in this conversation is about the relational nature of this, how we can be this for one another without pushing or forcing or imposing or demanding or anything. So I want to bring that relationship inside myself to name that there's an inner relationship, that there's something of me, the essential self of each of us, that I think is really up for what James writes about. And then there are parts of us that would long for it, that too, and have had really good reason not to be that way. It's been really intelligent not to be that way, and yet a longing for it. It may help us to hold words like James's inside ourselves as sort of like a tender invitation or a pathway to the other parts of ourselves that may feel not ready and cannot be demanded to be different. And yet we can hold out our hands and say, I see you. I see how much you want hard things to soften. I see how you might long to unfurl into a small bowl, ready to hold whatever. I'm still so taken by this line, whatever small thing falls inside. So I really am with this. It's the trick. Maybe the trick is never to harden in the first place. But given that most of us find these hard places inside us, I want to pick up your invitational way of speaking about invitations and wonder about not just how we do it for one another, but how we bring that very relationship onto the inside. And I think words like this and conversations like this, of course, can be part of, that's part of what they do. The furled up parts of us, the clenched up parts of us, get to hear all of this and aren't untouched by it.
Yeah, and it's just occurring to me, Justin, that nothing is happening anywhere else other than on the inside of us. You know, whatever's happening has to be being experienced on the inside of here. So everything you're saying about a boldness inside of us, it could be an invitation to the parts that are clenched or are the fists. We're happening right here. You're happening inside of me, as is this poem, as is a song. And I was just thinking about all of the parts, the clenched parts in me that I've ever met. And so far, I've always found that the parts have some kind of willingness, even the really, really clenched ones. When I bring my warmth and my acceptance and my sometimes kneeling next to them like I would a small child looking at a jigsaw, and so not being confrontational, but just being present with and to, I'm feeling really hopeful because all of the parts I've encountered in myself, maybe I've had to come back to them a few times because the first time they weren't up for it or something, but I feel like I've never given up on a part. You know, I've never given up on something just being, well, that's never going to come to the conversation or there isn't a part of me I've ever discovered that doesn't want to be acknowledged. And acknowledgement in itself is connecting and softening. And there's never been a part that I have, as I say, given up on as just not wanting to engage, and then I leave it there, if you know what I mean. I feel really committed to seeing and appreciating what it's like to want to stay hard, for example. Like there's always a way, like even if it doesn't want to soften, to appreciate the not wanting to soften softens. It's like the nature of life seems to me to be a benevolent opening, softening one that can be brought to anything. And I think that's the really beautiful thing. And I'm really appreciating as well that you've highlighted this line that maybe the trick is to never harden in the first place. And I take that to be like momentary awareness rather than like an absolute thing or something. But when we can observe our hardening, what is it to go, oh, maybe this time I could see what it's like not to harden. Maybe when Vespa throws all of the Weetabix all over the floor, I can go, what is it not to harden right now? What is it to see if I can? And many times I'll harden, of course, and I'll be, something else will be happening and it will be too much for me and I'll be cross and whatever. But I feel really enhopened by the moment-to-moment invitation of being able to watch and see what's happening, either in a conversation or a happening or goodness knows what else, to see whether I can take James's invitation and wonder what it would be like to not follow the well-worn path and see if I can practice doing that, given there'll be plenty of opportunities I've entirely missed along the way to not, to not never have hardened. Plenty of them. And I can't do anything about that now because I have hardened. But this moment-to-moment possibility of watching myself, observing and feeling my own bodily sensations and patterns and grooves of hardening. What is it to be right there with them in the moment and see what I can do to breathe and soften and take this invitation? Like that's how it's landing in me from James, is this momentary possibility that I could have this be there in my life and practice and experiment and fail and get it wrong and all of the things. So I'm just looking at the time, Justin, knowing that it's time for our conversation to come to an end. And I want to say thank you to us for our general way, I think, of doing our best to open all the time. I think that's what we're up to so much. And also knowing all the parts of us that aren't that and being willing to be okay with them and love them and that being just what humanness is. And I really want to thank James for being a person who writes this and all the other things he's written, and all of his dedication to poetry and community and sharing. It's really, really beautiful. And we're going to be back next week, next Sunday, live at the same time again with a source, this time chosen by you, Justin. And thank you, everyone, for being with us and following and participating. And as Justin said, we would love to hear from you. If there's anything that you want to say, anything you want to comment on, appreciate, tell us, just say hello, anything at all. We love that. So thank you, everybody. And thank you, Justin.
Thanks, Lizzie. Thanks, everyone.